welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Tuppett Caverly.
We're coming to you live on Global Star, Tuesday, April 23rd. Tonight, we have to pay attention to more rumblings of possible impending judgment on America. More earthquakes coming, more destruction of bridges and marinas, more attempts to destroy America, more iniquities abounding. We're here to cover it all and warn you, the remnant.
And yes, Lou, we must now look again at the possible symbolic connections associated with God's impending judgment on an unrepentant America as seen in the path of the April 8th solar eclipse. And this is from the Western Journal by Randy DeSoto, and this was April 5th, 2024. Path of upcoming solar eclipse appears to have prophetic significance, Bible experts say. Pastor Paul Begley and investigative journalist Troy Anderson, co-authors of Revelation 9:11, How the Book of Revelation Intersects with Today's Headlines, told the Western Journal that there are several noteworthy things about, quote, the Great North American Eclipse, particularly when it is coupled with the Great American Eclipse of 2017. Jesus reiterates that when asked the question about the signs of his second coming, he immediately goes into talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars, as well as other things on earth. He continued, America's Nineveh moment. One interesting thing Begley noted about this eclipse was that two U.S. cities called Nineveh lay in the path of totality. And, of course, we are going to interject there. Lou's research showed that there were seven, didn't it, Lou?
Yes, it did.
Your research.
Yeah.
The pastor found it, quote, very ironic because in the Bible, when Jonah went to preach to the city of Nineveh because of their wickedness, God said he was going to destroy the city unless they repented. Well, the day Jonah entered into the city of Nineveh was June 15th, 763 B.C., there was a great solar eclipse that went over the Middle East, went right over Nineveh. So the question is this a prophetic sign? Is this America's Nineveh moment? An ancient Assyrian tablet found in the Royal Archives of Nineveh and now housed in the British Museum references a solar eclipse that occurred on June 15, 763 B.C., during the time period Jonah is believed to have lived. The Bible records that the people of Nineveh heeded Jonah's warning and repented, and God did not send judgment on the city. And I think we also go now to, do we not go to you, Lou? What do you have there?
I had a little different cue, but I'll continue. The same was true during the Revolutionary War, when two eclipses occurred.
Let me take a little look at this again.
Sure.
Because we want to go in the right order.
Yes.
And I believe that we're talking there about Nineveh, and I believe I have a little bit more here to talk about the Civil War before you come in.
Oh, good, good.
The author said the last president to call the nation to repentance was Abraham Lincoln, but it had been a regular occurrence prior to that. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, we have Pastor Jonathan Cahn, this is Elizabeth speaking, calling upon Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, to repent. And this, I guess, was a precedent. There were some other presidents who themselves asked the nation to repent. Isn't that an unusual thing for us to hear today?
Yes, you don't expect to hear anything like that coming out of the mouths of today's president.
No, and politicians. It had been a regular occurrence prior to that. Further, the Continental Congress made several such calls to fasting and repentance during the Revolutionary War. In addition to the eclipse's path over towns named Nineveh, Begley pointed to the place where it would cross the path of the 2017 eclipse, a region in southern Illinois known as Little Egypt. Now, we're interrupting again. Lou, you recall very well that we talked about this, that this might parallel the ancient Israelites when they were in captivity in Egypt, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That maybe captivity was coming. And now, here's another interesting revelation. back to the article. Begley noted that the area is likely called Little Egypt because following a 19th century famine in northern Illinois, people came south to buy grain, much as Jacob's children traveled south to Egypt to find food when famine struck their land. Now, we have to talk again, Lou. Isn't God exacting? You know, he doesn't do things. He doesn't rip a page, say, out of a checkbook. He takes the scissors and he cuts it neatly so there aren't any raw or missing edges. Isn't that right?
Yes, when God does it, he does it with great precision, great exactness.
So in other words, this parallel is striking. Yes. All of the similarities that the people had to come to buy grain, just like the biblical story of Jacob's children going there and, you know, then finally recognizing their brother whom they had sold into slavery, Joseph, now in a position of key power who could give them the food and forgive them. And that's a lesson to all of us. We must keep forgiving, and we must not have hatred in our hearts. And God has put it on our hearts again. We do have to say once again that God has an eternal covenant according to his scripture. And what he showed me one day when I asked him earnestly and went into my father's peace of mind KJV Bible that he gave to me in 1962, I saw the words that God had an eternal covenant with his people. And so we are alarmed that we see the resurgence of actual Jew hatred, actual anti-Semitism, actual Holocaust denial. And this is something that thinking people, honest Christians, cannot tolerate. This cannot be. And you know, we've had a compliment from another key watchman on God's wall, and he said we give a balanced view, and we do want that, and we are heartsick to think that some of our listeners actually said they hated Pastor Jonathan Kahn. They need to repent. We all need to repent. Every one of us sometimes has hatred, has irrational thoughts, is rather snippy to people, or many other ways we let people down. Maybe sins of omission. We need to repent. And we do need to know that we're bringing you the news as faithfully as we can and as truthfully. And when we look at Israel, Lou and I are not happy. Certainly we're not happy with the New World Order police state under Netanyahu that forced almost all of its citizens to get the COVID-19 vaccine shots and used that little boy as a poster boy to advertise it, and then he dropped dead. We're not happy with a certain thing. Just we're not happy with the CIA and the DOD here, who, according to the testimony of RFK Jr., helped set up the secretive bioweapons labs in Ukraine. Why, these are heinous sins against God and against the people of the world. So we're not happy with that. We can't be happy with that. We also know that according to the Alex Jones Show years ago, he claimed, and we have some other information backing it up, that Israel itself, the New World Order aspect of it, created Hamas. They created it just the way our CIA and our other government intelligence agencies are said to have created ISIS. You know, the late Dr. Stan Monteith said it's the best enemy money can buy. They have to set up their little chess games like Zbigniew Brzezinski, you know, had in his book, The Chessboard. They get a lot of enjoyment out of this, I think, knocking the different countries around on the chessboard. So if that's accurate, you see, Israel is corrupted. The political state is very corrupted. And Lou and I have been very upset to hear this information that Israel is helping to finance Turkey in going after the genocidal program against the Armenian Christians. Where are those so-called Christian Zionist organizations that are Protestant in nature and taking all their tour groups over to Israel, collaborating with the police state? Where are they? We haven't heard one word about these Armenian Christians, have we, Lou?
No.
Not one word from the clerical circles. So these are outrageous evils. And if it's true that Israel was planning some starvation to the people in Gaza, that's evil. But let's look at this. God has his hand on Israel. The Bible makes it very clear that if it was reborn in 1948, or was it 47? Which was it?
I think it was 47. I'm not.
That was when the war was, I think. God had his hand because he said he would consolidate his people again and they would have a land of their own. But he also said there would be a long time they would be blind and they would not be really truly worshiping him. And the statistics do show that there are many more agnostics and atheists, people who are anti-Christian, living in Israel. But in the prophecies, and I had just looked over this, some interesting information sent to us by Ed and Melanie, some very interesting information, how the Bible corroborates in prophecy that there will be a long time that these residents of Israel will be blind, but the breath of life will be breathed into them. That's that business about the bones. Is that Isaiah, Lou?
I think that's Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Yes, it is. Ezekiel, isn't it? So there are prophecies there that show when God said to me that day, I believe, in my father's Bible, he had an eternal covenant with his chosen people, he will bring them into faith in his way and time. So there are two different agendas, you see. We look at the police state, the New World Order police state of Israel, and it's no worse, maybe, than the police state of America. The Operation Warp Speed that gave all of these people, these young people, death unexpectedly. Today I was going through some clippings, Lou, trying to see what we could keep and what we would discard, and there, back, I think maybe it was 2021, there was a beautiful young blonde-haired girl, age 26, in the newspaper, died very unexpectedly. And I knew, there's another one. What kind of crimes are both nations guilty of, Israel and America? Yet, in all fairness, we have to look at the big picture that if this is God's nation, Israel, he wants to preserve it, and he wants to preserve America. If enough people will repent, we really believe that, because there are still good Christian families here. You know, Lou isn't down there in Washington, D.C., planning bioweapons labs over in the Ukraine, are you, Lou?
No.
Last time I noticed,
long ways off.
You were teaching students, and you were now reaping some wonderful rewards from that. Students being brought into your path years later that you saw you did some good for. So we do call on those people who are trying to kill us with the chemtrails day after day after day after day, that you won't win. God will take us home when he wants us home. You will not win by trying to brainwash all of our listeners with Jew hatred. We got an email today that told us that the person was pleased with our balanced coverage about this whole question. And right at that moment, we were writing back to the person an email. And there, Lou said, listen, there's the bird. Last July, when I was in anguish thinking about what happened to these children in that big bank arena in Sydney, Australia, where they were herded in, taken away from their father and mother, first of all, taken away and taken in there and given these shots, injected into them. In that same chapter that I told about the first lady visiting the little boy's third birthday as he's being injected with the shot and singing to him, that was an important chapter because God has in his Bible Jesus rebuking anyone who harmed the children. The millstone, it was the threat. Jesus said it would be much worse. And, you know, at the time I was writing that, we were under terrible attack. Lou had a gum infection. We were having a lot of chemtrails. We were having terrible heat. All kinds of things were going wrong. But I said to Lou, I think this is a very important chapter I have just written. And chirp, 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 that wonderful little bird. We call it the teacup bird because we finally saw it one time at our back steps and we could recognize the same call. and it's shaped like a little rounded bird. We don't know what kind of bird it is, do we?
No, I've got to look sometimes.
But we do love it. So you see, it sings selectively. God uses signs like this. He can use anything in his universe to encourage us. So today, when we were writing back to this person who said we gave a balanced report and that it was very important that we not have all this anti-Semitism and hatred for any race, the bird began to chirp, and we hadn't heard it for maybe a week or two, had we?
No, we hadn't.
No. So now, I think this is the only time we really have to go into this in such depth, but it is very important. We do not believe in replacement theology. We believe in God's scripture, with his word saying he has an eternal covenant with his people, the Jewish people. So now we come back to another thing that's very important. Despite all these sins that both countries are doing, America and Israel, they each have a right to exist. They each have a right to defend their own borders. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be patriots here in America, would we, Lou?
No, we wouldn't.
I mean, you came from the place that was near the shot fired heard around the world. Tell.
Yes, Concord, Massachusetts is only about, I guess maybe 30 miles from where I grew up. One of my ancestors was a lieutenant in the American Revolution. So, we were a patriotic family from my earliest years, and it's very interesting to have grown up in that area. There's so much interesting history.
And you don't want to see our country go down. You don't want to see a civil war fomented either by the elite, by the so-called elite, by the New World Order minions, because they know then that will help to lead toward chaos and bringing in the outer troops, the UN, maybe Russia, maybe China, all of these things. It'll be game on. And so we have to now say that Israel deserves to be a country just the way any other country is. And we're somewhat alarmed that one of our long-term listeners seemed to have a lot of pity for Iran and just judgment on Israel. Now, if we look at the facts, we look at Carol Matriciano's wonderful documentary, Islam Rising, we learn the truth. The Quran is not the Bible. The Quran tells them to become suicide bombers. It tells them to kill off Jews and Christians. We better not forget something. Those of you who want to hate the Jews, you'd better remember those chants that the pro-Palestinian protesters were crying out in New York and some other places. Those chants said, "Death to America."
They also said,
"Go, Lou."
Yes, they also said, "From the river to the sea." That was a common chant. And I'll bet a lot of those young people don't even know what that's talking about. But it means from the Tigris and Euphrates all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. In other words, wipe out Israel.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah,
what is that phrase again?
It, from the rivers to the sea.
Why, isn't that interesting? And, of course, they want to wipe out here. We can see the influence. Some of our congressional representatives were sworn in not on Bibles like our forefathers. They were sworn in on the Quran. Now, that means Dawah is on. And Carol Matriciana brought that out so well, the deception. There would be this sort of a peaceful kind of a assimilation, supposedly. But underneath, the goal is bring out that sword, cut off the heads, when the signal is given. So some of you out there who are saying the poor Palestinians, you'd better be careful. You'd better know your history. Lou told you about the Arabs, too. I had not known this, that they were part of the slave trade, that they were a key player. Tell that again.
The Arabs in the period we would probably call the Renaissance, of, I guess anywhere perhaps from 1200 A.D. to when slavery was finally outlawed in Africa, probably about 1870, 1880, was very recent in comparison to history. The Arabs were the main ones who would go into the interior of sub-Saharan Africa and make deals with some of the not-so-moral black leaders to round up a bunch of slaves, drive them out to the coast, and send them on by ship to all parts of the world that counted in slavery. So the Arabs were not such nice people.
They were not basing their lives on something like we do, the Bible, the Holy Scripture, which never tells us to go out and have our children strapped to suicide bombs. No, that's not Christianity. So it is very important that we try here to cleanse the airwaves of some things that have been promulgated for many years. You and I used to hear a late radio personality, and you were really fed up with him glorifying Hitler because you knew your World War II history very well, and he portrayed Hitler as this wonderful savior of the German people. That wasn't true, was it?
No, not even for the so-called Aryan German people. Hitler took much of their money away. He destroyed their unions. He did have a few good points. He'd have to have a few, or he, you know, wouldn't have been a leader of any kind. But he single-handedly, practically, involved them in a war that decimated Germany for generations. And after the war, what was left of Germany? Not much. And that was due to one man, chiefly, Adolf Hitler. Yes, there were other influences, but without Adolf Hitler, if you read history, it would be unimaginable to think that Germany could rise into a major military power after its defeat in World War I.
And so, Lou, again, we have to look at the individual person, and God gives us discernment about that. But we also have to recognize that we cannot go against his scripture. And, you know, having said all this, we also can find that any kind of a person, when he becomes too wise in his own conceits and he thinks he has all the theology, he can be mixed up. Satan can mess him up. And I won't name names right here, but there's a big name in patriotic Christianity who just died not long ago, and I was trying to read his book that talks about 2025, and a lot of it is very interesting and very good, but it got off into some very odd theology to the effect that Adam and Eve were perfect humans in the beginning, before there was sin, and that Jesus was created a human too. He was a perfect human. Well, first of all, we talked to each other that Jesus wasn't a created being, was he?
No, just read the first two or three verses of the Gospel of John. You quickly see that Jesus was not created, that he was, from the beginning, part of the Godhead.
Yes, so that was heresy. And so, you know, you have to be careful. Just because you hear about a famous author or a famous researcher in patriot circles, be careful what you read. And that person may not have even realized that he was off the track to be promoting that. Actually, he was quoting another earlier theologian that had the thing in full. So we don't put the full blame on him, but he was endorsing it. So, you see, we can't endorse things that are not biblical, and we can't take a little part out of the Bible and then draw big fanatical theories just because of that one little part either, can we?
No, we can't. You have to take the Bible as a whole, all of it at once. That's the only right way to do it.
You can't just pick and choose.
Right.
And there might be some parts that we don't fully understand. We're human. There might be some parts that conflict with each other, but the overall part is our faith. Our faith that Jesus Christ was real and that he did die for us. And you and I, in these long years together, married, and even before that, we have seen that God and his son, Jesus Christ, have been utterly faithful to us. Isn't that right?
That's completely right.
Every harsh experience we've ever had, some of them were years of illness, years of torment, years of financial setbacks. He has never failed us, and we do want you, if you do not know him, to pray to him, to Jesus, ask him to help you know him, that you can repent of your sins and be saved. Because we really don't know what's going to happen. You see, we're here at a turning point. We're not doing the program that we have sitting here in all these pages. You see, he led us to talk to you. It was that bird singing this morning that we know he wants us to help you cleanse your hearts and repent, perhaps, of unconscious sins. If you are promoting certain doctrines that you say are going to happen, they may never happen. You have to admit that you have maybe misinterpreted the Bible. You know, people who thought the end of the world was going to come. All those different times. Lou, didn't you say in the 1800s there were people like this? They said, we're standing out and we're waiting.
Yes, there was one famous man of his time who was a founder of one of the major Protestant sects, and he predicted two or three times that the second coming would occur on such and such date. He actually, I think, pinned it right down to the day, and his followers waited, nothing happened. So they waited the next time, nothing happened. And finally, I guess he gave up making predictions. He realized that wasn't going to work.
And so, you see, we're just saying that there are wonderful, beautiful Jewish people who right now are celebrating Passover. And do we not know what that means in the Old Testament? That was the faithfulness of God to reward those who were truly his people in their hearts, wasn't it, Lou?
Yes, it was. It gave, God specifically gave them a way to escape the plagues of Egypt.
And their sons would not be killed.
Yes,
isn't that right?
That last plague, the death of the firstborn. And
yes.
He told them exactly what to do, and he was completely faithful if they obeyed him.
And do we not think that we may need this? I hope and pray that the people trying to foment the Civil War, we think there's some broadcasters, too, who are paid to do that. And I guess there's a movie out now, The Civil War. See, this is pushing, this is brainwashing the people into, oh, it might be valiant and exciting. Our last stand in Texas. Oh, yes, let's get all the automatics out. Let's stand on a truck. Oh, let's get all the good old boys. Oh, yes, make America great. All of the group. Let's get everybody out and we're going to start the shooting war. But they don't realize this is death. This is depopulation. This is chaos. This is destruction being fomented by Satan, isn't it?
Yes, very much. I've never been in a real war, and I thank God for that. But those who have, it shattered their lives. Some of them could never talk about it again. So to talk, I guess the old saying, talk is cheap. But the real thing is, you know, abhorrent.
So, you see, we're here saying that we believe that this pastor, and I believe it was Pastor Paul Begley, we don't know about his other theology, whether we'd approve of it or not, but we think that he's right on the money to say we need to repent and to be warning America, and there will be many voices and many ears who just shut us off, who just want to go to CNN, who just want to go to other places where they can hear the voice of the world, the lure of the world, oh, the fun, the circuses, the games, oh, the good food, everything. But the Bible also says there's a city like that that it's going to be desolate in 1 hour, isn't it?
That's right.
So we're just telling you now that we want to clean up our lives. And believe me, we've had to do it lately. You do so much of this work, and sometimes it's very depressing. It's hard work finding all these things, all the news things. And I think we were not too charitable to some people. We were kind of making fun of people. I'll just admit it, weren't we?
Yes.
We were kind of ridiculing somebody.
We were.
And, you know, and then we started thinking about this. That person that we were ridiculing, that was really a friend of ours who years ago had done something wonderful for me. And I felt ashamed when I remembered that. And this person has had all of the shots, all the booster shots. These people your friends, your family, some of them are not the same anymore spiritually. We really believe that some of them are. I think some of them who prayed a lot to God and were just kind of bamboozled into taking the shots, some of them seem to be pretty much the way they always were. You see, God will have mercy on you. So now I think it's time now to move back and into what Pastor Bailey said. And he was talking here about that little Egypt and how the 19th century famine brought the people from northern Illinois down south to get grain, just like Jacob's children had traveled south to Egypt to find food when famine struck their land. Anderson also noted the Devil Comet would be visible during the April 8th eclipse. It's an unusual horned comet that travels near Earth every 71 years. Bailey said that only 8 solar eclipses have directly crossed the U.S. since its founding. Only 8. Since we declared ourselves a nation in 1776, and 2 of them have come in less than a 7-year period, he emphasized.
The same was true during the Revolutionary War, when 2 eclipses occurred in a little over 2 years, one in June 1778 and another in October 1780, according to WIJA-TV. Other U.S. eclipses occurred in 1806, 1854, 1878, 1918, 1923, 1979, and in 2017, as previously mentioned. In other words, they are a rare phenomenon. The next solar eclipse in the U.S. will not be until 2044. Quote, so we started looking at all these things, and we said, what is God trying to say in this prophetic movement? Bailey explained. He went on, I think God is saying to us, this is your moment, America. Where will you stand? Are you going to continue legalizing some of the abominations that God said not to do? Bailey asked. This nation has to make a decision. Who are we? Are we a Christian nation? I think this is a defining moment, he said. For their part, several states already had declared a state of emergency. And after a rare earthquake shook parts of the East Coast, including New York, stunned witnesses ominously linked it to the approaching eclipse. And this is Lou interjecting that last week I also covered the news of the lightning strike on the Statue of Liberty. And is that another possible judgment omen? Going on with the article, asked what he believes the American people need to repent of, Bailey answered, abortion and same-sex marriage. He also said he believes the court should revisit the 2015 Obergefell decision, which forced states to make same-sex marriage legal.
That may be Obergefell.
That may be.
We've heard that several ways. I'm not certain about that either, Lou. And you know, any list there of sins, we would add the transgender mutilation surgery.
Oh, I certainly
children,
would, yes.
Wouldn't we?
I certainly would. I'd put that near the top.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Overturning that ruling would give, quote, America a chance to choose, a vote to pray. And it gives the pastors, who are really the spiritual leaders of this nation, a chance to speak to their congregations and to encourage them to follow the laws of God, Bailey said.
Civil War revisited. Now, here's a very interesting kind of analogy. Again, we talked about how God, when he cuts a page out of your checkbook, he doesn't just rip it and you have all the raw edges. All of these interesting correlations, and we could get into a big talk if we were theologians about how the Old Testament gives previews of Jesus. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. Many, many, many places, yes.
Yes, and I believe in this material from Ed and Melanie, I was reading how the commentator said that it is true. In the Jewish synagogues, when they have weekly readings, they have deliberately omitted, I believe it's Isaiah 53, because it's so clearly talking about the Messiah. So you see, those people still will have to have their bones with life breathed into it. and the faith eventually in Jesus, the Savior. So here we go to Civil War Revisited. The pastor also saw significance in the fact that the two eclipses of 2017 and 2024 will have crossed over Lincoln's home state of Illinois. Further, the 2017 eclipse exited the U.S. over Charleston, South Carolina, where Fort Sumter is located, and the Civil War began. And the 2024 eclipse would enter the nation over Eagle Pass, Texas, where, in a sense, the conflict finally came to an end. The Confederates fired the first shots on Fort Sumter in April 1861. And at Eagle Pass, near what is now Shelby Park, Confederate General J.O. Shelby, who had refused to surrender to Union forces, fled with about 1,000 of his troops into Mexico. Shelby Park is also a focal point in the ongoing illegal immigration battle between the state of Texas and the federal government. Shelby reportedly took a Confederate flag, wrapped it around a rock, and sunk it in the Rio Grande on his way out in June 1865. Shelby Park became known as the, quote, grave of the Confederacy. Begley thought the odds of all these Civil War tie-ins in the paths of the two eclipses seemed, quote, just about impossible, end of quote, without divine planning. Quote, crisscrossing over the land of Lincoln, not far from Springfield, Illinois. Then the Civil War ending in Eagle Pass, or at least that may be considered the ending spot. I think God is revisiting this with us, he said. He's revisiting this and saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to repent? Change your ways? Or are you going to just become a divided nation that cannot stand? Begley added. I think we can have a big turnaround in this country, but I think the choice is ours. Well, this is Elizabeth speaking. Another large possible sign of God's protection being withdrawn lately, of course, and possible saboteurs having their way, according to analysts like noted journalist Laura Logan and the well-esteemed General Michael Flynn, this was the incident of the destruction of the vital to the nation Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. And, of course, this name, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, is a symbol of America, named for the author of our national anthem, which itself was a symbol of the victory of America and its role in the War of 1812. We see, again, the finely tuned parallels, correlations of God. You know, Lou, Jesus didn't just tell people things outwardly, always openly. He used parables.
That's right, and he said he did it on purpose because he wanted those who would really consider things and be open to what he said to be the ones to understand them.
That's right. And he said we're not to cast our pearls before swine.
Yes.
And sadly, that is what has been happening in many cases, that people do not want to hear about repentance. They do not want to hear that there was a murderous a depopulation agent put out under Operation Warp Speed and all over the world. So, you see, we don't see any act of repentance in our leaders. We don't hear Donald Trump talking in an interview with Tucker Carlson that, I have deeply repented. I should never have started Operation Warp Speed all over America. I should not have headed that. A lot of people died. But we've heard this rumor, I think you read it from InfoWars, from Alex Jones, that supposedly he was upset with Trump because he actually said that the COVID vaccine could possibly, in some cases, cure cancer. Now, we would like to have that corroborated. If any of you can find that article, maybe you'll mail it to us at Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And do please help us stay on the air if you can help with any amount. And we, again, invite you to order our new book free And well, as one listener said, it's a real page turner. You will read about a lot of things in depth. And chapter one talks about this repentance, this need for repentance, greatly. So all you need to do is just put a little note, please send your new book. And if you can put $3 $1 bills or a $5 bill in to cover the shipping, go ahead. And if you can't, we still want you to have the book. We don't want you to be without this resource in the years ahead, because we really do wonder what our country will be like November 4th of this year. And we hope and pray there will be repentance to forestall terrible things coming. And so now we are ready to ask you to repent and to do your part. Tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and hear us. Lou, now you're going to tell us that this bridge takedown, according to Laura Logan and General Flynn's assessment, possibly was not the end. There are some other attempts being made. Let's get into that. And remember, listeners, we are on the air two nights a week, not one. So those of you who are hearing us tonight on Global Star, or who will hear us Wednesday evening on WWCR on 9.350 megahertz, and then on Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on 4.840 megahertz, you'll hear a lot more. All right, Lou, what is this next incident?
26 barges break loose, causing bridge closures and damage to a marina on the Ohio River.
Woo!
By Anthony Scott, the Gateway Pundit, April 13th. In a bizarre incident, 26 barges broke loose in Pittsburgh and drifted uncontrollably down the Ohio River on Friday night. Shortly after the barges broke free, Pittsburgh authorities closed the McKees Rocks Bridge and the West End Bridge, quote, out of an abundance of caution, unquote. Authorities reported that 11 barges were stopped by running into a riverbank by Bruno Island, and now tugboats are on the scene pulling the barges out.
Oh, we have to interject there, Lou. Remember, that was the thing that seemed to ominously be missing that was needed in Baltimore. No tugboats.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Ones that could have safely brought the ships right around the bridge.
Yes, yes, that's
right. But go ahead.
Nine more were found stopped at the Emsworth Lock and Dam. And then we have a little Twitter by something called Roz Alerts. That's the pen name. Footage shows approximately six to seven barges jammed up against the Emsworth Dam, with more expected on the way. Multiple bridges have been shut down, causing traffic disruptions. Additionally, more barges are on the loose after breaking free. Crews are watching the situation. Again, that was Twitter. And going on, the commander of the Pittsburgh District of the Army Corps of Engineers stated that a preliminary evaluation showed no damage to the dam, but extensive damage to a nearby marina was found.
How do 26 barges get loose? We have been doing this for more than two centuries. And that was a Twitter from Big Fish, April 13, 2024. Per CBS News, multiple law enforcement agencies are investigating after more than 20 barges broke loose and floated down the Ohio River. The commander for the Pittsburgh District of the Army Corps of Engineers told KDKA the 26 barges that broke loose have been accounted for, with some of them resting against the Emsworth Lock and Dam on the Ohio River. He said early investigation found no issues with the dam and no one was hurt. Pittsburgh police said the call came in around 11:30 on Friday night. A spokesperson for the U.S. Coast Guard said 26 barges broke away from a vessel at a mile marker one, or at mile marker one, rather. Of the 26 barges, 23 were loaded and 3 were empty. McKees Rocks Bridge shut after barges break loose near Pittsburgh, the New York Times. And that was Jack Straw, April 13th, 2024. Currently, the cause of the barges breaking loose is under investigation, but authorities believe high water levels played a factor. We'll probably get the answer to that, Lou, when we get the Durham report, finally.
Maybe when you and I reach the age of 120.
I think so.
Yes, I think so, too. Now,
I think you're next.
Am I next?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
C.
I don't have C.
Oh, you'd better have C. You don't have a C. No.
Well, now let me check on that. I don't see C.
I'll bet you do.
I have B and F.
And, okay, maybe, you know what? The papers got shuffled. I seem to have C, Lou.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, gosh. All right, then I have to read an awful lot here. Natural news. Rumblings point to impending San Andreas earthquake. Is New Madrid next? This was Ethan Huff, April 12th. The big one is soon to come in the state of California. The scientists warn that the infamous San Andreas fault line is waking up. Right on schedule, after the second great American eclipse, San Andreas, for which Hollywood movies have been made, is showing signs of an upcoming tremor, as Metro United Kingdom reported. The tiny California town of Parkfield, which sits atop the San Andreas seismic zone, is considered, quote, the earthquake capital of the world. And it is there that experts say the epicenter of the next major California earthquake might occur. Parkfield sits about dead center between San Francisco and Los Angeles in central California. The San Andreas Fault itself runs north and south, passing through San Francisco, Santa Cruz, and Palm Springs, and also runs close to Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, and San Diego. There are other fault lines that intersect with and cross the San Andreas as well, touching nearly every major city across the Golden State. According to Luca Malagnini, a director of research at the National Institute of Geophysics and Volcanology in Italy, seismic measurements in Parkfield have been odd as of late. He suspects that there will be an earthquake somewhere this year, though the epicenter may not be Parkfield. Since 2021, variations in attenuation measurements have dropped substantially. The last time this happened, there was a rupture along the fault, September 28, 2004. We are waiting, Malagnini said ominously about these developments. As far as geology goes, predicting earthquakes along the San Andreas is a somewhat easy task. Earthquakes occur there generally every 22 years, which suggests the next big one may be in 2026. However, the current situation is different in that the usual pressure-relieving prequakes that would have occurred by now have not, which means a big one is probably imminent. Now, Lou, we're going to interject again there. That sounds ominous, as if God is not letting the normal safety valves work.
That's a good analogy. So, something like a pressure cooker, where you don't let the pressure die down or ease it off. You let it build up until there's a huge explosion.
And that may be judgment.
That may be.
The article says the behavior of the attenuation parameter in the last few years seems substantially different from the one that characterized the years prior to the 2004 main shock, Malagnini revealed in a recent study. Related, back in February, nearly 1,000 post-atmospheric river earthquakes were detected in California and Nevada, which further points to the San Andreas and other western fault lines waking up. Earthquakes in diverse places. The New Madrid Seismic Zone, NMSZ, the epicenter of which lies at the intersection of Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Illinois, is another area of great concern, especially since it has been active as of late in the lead-up to the second great American eclipse. Since a past eclipse predicated a major NMSZ, and remember that's New Madrid Seismic Zone quake, back in 1811 and 12, some have speculated that perhaps the recent eclipse will predicate, and that, of course, means come before, another big one in the same area, affecting large swaths of the South and Midwest. In recent weeks, the NMSZ has been surprisingly active, with many small quakes being detected right at the epicenter. There was also the unusual 4.8 earthquake that struck New York and New Jersey just prior to the second great American eclipse, which some see as an ominous foreboding of worse quakes to come. Lou, you know, this is beginning to add up. Now, think about it. These signs of judgment, all the various parts of it, the various earthquakes, the lightning strike on the Statue of Liberty, and the various tie-ins here that we've had tonight with the Civil War, with the Revolutionary War. It's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, this is all very interesting. I had tended to sort of look at these headlines and say, oh, well, they're just making things up to go along just to sound good, to sound impressive. But now I have to stop and think.
Yes,
say,
you do. And now let's go right
this
on.
This is interesting.
Go right on to what you have.
Okay, now I have E.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 24:7 warns about this, that is, about this, stating that in the end of days, nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and that there would be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. With the massive cicada event still coming in the following days, not to mention the prospect, prospect of nuclear war between Israel and Iran, the stage does seem to be set for some major shaking.
And that's biblical with the locusts, isn't it?
Yes.
And we want to not take too long on anything because we want to try to complete this year, too. Okay?
Yes, this only has about three more lines here. And it says the stage does seem to be set for some major shaking, including seismically across the United States, where X now marks the spot for judgment and destruction. It is not a matter of if, but when, as far as the big one, striking California and the Midwest. And you can find out more at collapse.news. And that took care of E. Now we have Zero Hedge, American debacle.
I think that's debacle.
Debacle. Yes, I think you're right.
We correct each other, listeners.
We do. And I have to always give in to an English teacher.
Yes, but sometimes she's wrong, and you've shown that.
Well, occasionally.
You're a great dictionary user.
That's true.
Go ahead.
This is by Portfolio Armor, Friday, April 12th, 2024. America still has some of the best scientists, engineers, and inventors in the world, probably more than any other country. And it's still a great place to be rich. I was reminded of that a couple of weeks ago when I saw a tiny jet I didn't recognize taking off from Teterboro Airport. Looking it up later, it was a Cirrus Vision jet. If you have a few million dollars burning a hole in your pocket, you can buy the world's first luxury flying SUV from the Wisconsin-based company, complete with a safe return button that automatically lands the plane, and a built-in parachute in case of engine failure. Now the subheadline, maybe America no longer works at scale. The contrast between the successful personal jet maker and the ongoing calamities at Boeing suggests that while we can still do great things, we can no longer do big things well. Another example of that appears to be our failure to clear the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore as, quote, armchair warlord, unquote, pointed out on X earlier today. The MV Dolly, that was the ship you remember, collided with the Key Bridge in Baltimore 3 weeks ago, and so little has been done for remediation that if this was happening in Russia or China, we'd have people writing PhD dissertations on this website about poor state capacity and shaken trust in regimes. And that was from Armchair Warlord via Twitter.
And next, that's it for that one?
A little bit more.
Oh, go ahead.
Let's look at the current status of things 3 weeks in. The Dolly remains aground and has not been freed from bridge debris, let alone unloaded, refloated, and evacuated to dry dock. Practically no progress has been made clearing debris because the handful of small floating cranes on site are obviously not up to the task, because apparently the Biden administration decided this would be an all-American salvage effort and refused to bring in foreign crane ships with far greater capacity. Thus, workers are being endangered by being ordered to cut the bridge debris into small chunks.
Lou.
Yes.
This is really disgusting.
Oh, yes.
In other words, symbolically, he wants to force Americans only to participate in the incompetence of seeing their country destroyed, the incompetence of picking up the debris from seeing their country destroyed. I think this is a demoralizing tactic. This is probably a propaganda tactic. Go ahead.
The Port of Baltimore remains closed to all heavy traffic, and authorities expect it to remain closed through at least May, which is very optimistic. Officials expect a replacement bridge might be inaugurated in a decade, which could itself be optimistic. Let's pause for a moment to contrast this with Russia's Crimean Bridge, the longest in Europe, which, per Wikipedia, was completed within 4 years of its contract being awarded. And when spans of the bridge were destroyed by Ukrainian attacks, in each case, the bridge was fully repaired and reopened within months. And now we go to you, I guess, Elizabeth.
You know, isn't that interesting?
It is.
Deliberate incompetence, possibly.
Yes.
And that also shows you something there about Russia, what we've always said, that the news media lied about them going in and invading Georgia. And we had actually found an AP article ourselves that showed the West went in there first. And Russia was trying to defend its enclaves that were traditionally Russian. So you can see here that Crimea has always been Russian, and the Ukraine was invading it. So there are always two sides to every story, and we hope that we can faithfully bring you the news to the best of our watchperson ability, and that we can bring you the hope and the information you need to stay well. And again, I do want to repeat, if some of you didn't get to hear it, we talked to you about the new research study that showed the sugar alcohol, erythritol, that was often in stevia, the sugar replacement, could be harmful, could cause cardiovascular strokes and heart problems. And we actually have found one that is erythritol-free. It's stevia in the raw. So if some of you need to cut back on your use of sugar, there perhaps you can look into that. And we have brought to you the information that, is so far as we can tell, the mRNA vaccinations are not in the cattle, but they are in the pork, and they have been for some years. And you do want to stay away from bioengineered meat substitutes like Beyond Meat, Bill Gates's big product. You want to stay away from any kind of cultured meat. It's horrendous what they do. Go in there and kill the fetus, kill the cow. Anyway, it's horrible, horrible process. We've talked about it. So do stock up on your foods before November 4th. That's our advice. Good night.